All right, well, this morning I wanted to continue a Names of God series that I sort of briefly started, I think it was a couple of months ago, and I spoke about the Lord is your provider. Does anyone remember Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yireh? I spoke about that. And this morning I want to talk about Jehovah Rapha. And I'll get to that, but I first just want to share a couple of stories that have happened to me. And I don't know about you, church, but I'm in a season where I'm surrounded by sick or injured people at the moment. Does anyone else feel like a lot of people are sick? We're entering winter. But particularly I feel like I get surrounded by people that are injured. And it's funny because often God will prompt or put on my heart to pray for those that I see out in public that are injured. And I'm human, so there is a little bit of, oh, okay, God. You know, anyone else feel a little bit like it's bold? It takes a bold step to go and pray for someone. It might just be me. But, you know, got to the point, it always seems to be people on crutches. Does anyone else have like a thing that God speaks to them through? Mine is people on crutches. I always feel like God's like, go pray for that person. And it got to the point where I'd go to Coles Andregrove. Yeah, Coles, I'm a Coles gal. Shout out to Coles Andregrove. Amen. I'd always go to Coles and there'd often be someone on crutches, either walking out or walking around. And I'm like, it just got to the point where I was like, I just want to go to the grocery store like this. Just find the eggs. Like, don't look at anyone. Just get the eggs and go. Because sometimes it, you know, it takes a faith step and a bold step to pray for someone. And yeah, so anyway, it's crutches. And even at the point where I was getting a foot massage after Extreme One conference and my feet were so sore, I was like, oh, I'll just treat myself to a foot massage. And I'm sitting there and then the man next to me starts talking about how his foot's injured and I'm like, but I just want to relax. God's like, pray for him. I'm like, hello, can I pray for you? Awkward, because there's still half an hour left, so I've got to sit next to you for the rest of the half an hour. Heal him, Lord, please. And yesterday, actually, my sister and I took our Bibles and a picnic rug to this really nice lookout in Lambert's Beach. Not going to tell you where, because I like it and I don't want too many people to go there. And sitting down on the rug, and Emily and I were just having a great time. God chats, I'm like, oh, God is here. It's so great. And we're just having amazing chats. I'm like, oh, this is great. It's Saturday. I've got a coffee. We've got our Bibles. I can just exist. This is awesome. The sun is out. Life is good. And then my eye is drawn to these women getting out of their car, setting up a picnic. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then one gets out with crutches. And I'm like, for the love of crutches, can I not just enjoy my Saturday? Is anyone well in this town? Like, why is everyone on crutches? And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm just looking and Emily's like, oh, what are you looking at? I'm like, oh, she's on crutches. Emily's like, oh, do you feel to pray for her? And I'm like, betrayed by my own sister. I'm like, thanks, Emily. Well, now I do. Anyway, so we're sitting there and I'm like, God, please help me. Like, just give me something. Like, they're all sitting there and they look like they're having a deep chat. I don't really want to bother them. And then Emily says to me, I think they're talking about God. I think they're talking about fasting. And I was like, all right. I was Usain Bolt with my Bible. I was like, okay, I'll go now. I'll go now. Let's get this over with. You know, and in that moment, I ended up knowing one of the women. And she said, oh, hey, Claire. And I got to pray for all three of them. And the fear of the Lord really hit me in that moment because I felt, you know, if God tells me to do something, I don't want to be the one that doesn't do it. And then I get to heaven and he says, well, what about all these people that I prompted you to pray for so that I get the glory and they come to know me and you didn't do it? And you know, it got to the point where I was like, I'll just do click and collects at Coles. You know, I won't actually go in. I'll just do a click and collect. I'm like, surely they won't have anyone on crutches for staff doing the click and collects. And, you know, they would mess up my order, bless. And so I was like, okay, I'll go back to the grocery store. And, you know, I joke when I say this, but it does take a lot of boldness to step out and pray for someone. But I felt like in this space, God was showing me that that people on crutches, he actually said to me yesterday, you know, the crutches, Claire, and you know when God says your name and you're like, oh, yes, yes, Lord, the crutches, Claire, let me tell you about that. And he said, you know, the crutches, Claire, they are depending on those crutches, on that device. You know, they're depending on them to hold them up, to rely on. I am who they need to rely on to hold them up. I am who they need to depend on to hold them up. I was like, okay, wow, yep, amen, Lord. And so I'm going to pray for people with crutches. And I don't say that to say, look at me, I'm praying for people. I felt God showed me yesterday and in the last few weeks and the last few years that a healing is for everyone. It's not just for some. And so let's pray this morning before we turn to the word. Father, we thank you that your spirit and your presence is in this place. Father, we thank you that you are the God of healing, the Lord that heals us. And God, we believe for healings to take place this morning. We thank you, God, that you are the source of healing. It is by your stripes, Jesus, that we are healed, so that you may get the glory and the mighty power. Come have your way, Lord. Amen. Amen. And so I want us to turn to Exodus 15:26. And that's where, you know, Jehovah Rapha is referenced. And it says this: if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that heals you. That's what Jehovah Rapha means. I am the Lord that heals you. When I was 4 years old, I've had my own healing story, which it's funny because I often forget about, and it's so powerful, and I felt like God has been reminding me in the last few years, hey, like your testimony isn't just that you were broken and you found me, you were in a bad relationship and you found me. It's actually your healing, like your healing story where I healed you. And so when I was 4 years old, Mum tells the story that I was playing upstairs. I think we were living in Rockhampton or Ipswich, and I came down and I said to Mum, you know, Mum, my fingers feel funny. They feel really funny. And she was like, oh, that doesn't sound right. And so, you know, my mum and my dad went and, you know, went to the doctors and we did some tests, and they discovered that I had epilepsy. And, you know, the seizures that I had weren't violent, but they were like all in my mind. And so I would look at people and they would be talking really fast, and I would, it was just so overwhelming, and my fingers would feel like bricks. And they'd feel so heavy, and it was incredibly stressful when I would have these seizures for me, because I'm like, the world is just swirling and chaotic. And, you know, so I can't even remember what type of epilepsy I had. But I was in the 2% chance of growing out of it. And the doctors said to my mum and dad, you know, her life is going to look really different than what you thought it would. You know, she's not going to be able to drive a car. You know, she's going to, because these seizures would just come at any point. And, you know, my dad spent hours and hours on his knees praying and praying and praying for healing. And I just want to encourage you, dads here, the power, and parents, the power of your prayers is so, so, so crucial and strong. I'm standing here, and we'll get to the testimony, but I'm standing here as a testimony to my dad's prayers. You know, the times that he spent on his knees praying for my salvation and praying for my healing. And so, yeah, 2% chance of growing out of it, they said. And, you know, it's funny because as a child, I would hide my medication around the house. So, you know, so my sisters and mum tell me, they'd find it in like the toilet bowl or under my bed, or I just hated taking my medication for some reason. And it's funny because I don't like the dry medication. Does anyone else like hate those tablets that are really dry and it's like when you're trying to swallow it? To the point where when I got my gallbladder out last year, went to the hospital because I was having an attack, and they gave me some Endone and then they gave me Panadol to extend it out. and it was this big, gross, dry Panadol tablet. And so I broke it in half and I put it in my mouth and I was like swirling it with, you know, water. And Mum's like, it's half a Panadol, princess. Like, come on. So every now and then she reminds me of the half a Panadol, princess. Hate taking medication. Hate it. And I used to hide it. And I look back and I wonder why I used to hide my medication. You know, maybe it was just, I didn't want to take it. Or maybe it was just, this isn't me. You know, this epilepsy isn't me. I don't want that life where I can't drive. And so at 12 years old, I ended up coming off my medication due to an absence of seizures. And at 16 years old, I went to the doctors because I wanted to get my learner's license, 16 and a half. And this is what the doctor said to me. She asked me when my last seizure was, and I said 10, so it had been 6 years. And she said to me, Claire, when you go for your license, don't tick that you've had epilepsy at all. Treat it as if it's never happened, because you don't have it. It's like you've never had it. It's like you've been healed of it. And I was in the 2% chance, but God was the other 98%. You know, I believe that. And I'm driving a car. You know, I don't have epilepsy. In fact, I look back at that part of my life. I'm like, I don't remember that. That's not me. And I loved what Pastor Faylene Sparks said, that when she was here, she said, you know, this is not my lot in life. You know, there is more for me. Why do we sometimes get stuck in that place of well, healing is, you know, that person got healing and that person got healing, but maybe it's not for me. But I feel prompted to say that healing is for everyone. You know, it's not just for some. It's not just for some. Nowhere in the Bible does it say he will heal some and not others. In fact, it's quite the opposite. And we see in Matthew 10:1 that Jesus called his 12 disciples and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Every, not just some. It says every. I love that. Every disease and sickness. And so we're going to look at some scripture this morning that has healings. And I love Luke and Matthew and John. And so we're going to turn to Luke 8. 43, and it will be on the screen. Luke 8:43. Yeah, and so this is where it's actually the woman in the crowd that has suffered, you know, 12 years with constant bleeding. And it says that she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. Immediately. Who touched me? Jesus asked. And everyone denied it. And Peter said, Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. And when the woman realized that she could no longer stay hidden, I love that, because when God heals, he wants the glory. And so we can't remain hidden. I love that. She began to tremble and she fell to her knees in front of him, and the whole crowd heard her explain why, you know, she had reached out and touched his robe. And he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And this, we know that this happens in the middle of Jairus, you know, leading Jesus to his home because his 12-year-old daughter is really unwell. She's dying. And in Luke 8:49, it says, while Jesus was still speaking to this woman with the constant bleeding, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus and said, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. In other words, this is your lot in life. Healing isn't for you. Your daughter has died. And I love, love, love verse 50. And I could meditate on this for so long. But when Jesus heard, I need that in my life. But when Jesus heard, what had happened, he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Just have faith and she will be healed. In the middle of a man waiting for healing for his family, you know, Jesus heals another woman by faith. And then he turns to Jairus and says, well, have faith that she'll be healed. It's intentional. It's intentional, that reminder, just have faith. I'm going to heal this woman with the constant bleeding for her faith. Just have faith, Jairus. And we know that Jesus goes to the home and they're playing funeral music and they're mourning and he's like, get out. You know, she's not dead, she's asleep. And then she gets up and she's healed. We do see in the Bible times where Jesus asks if people believes that he can heal them before he does. And it's actually directly after he heals Jairus' daughter, because it says in Matthew 9:28, and previously, you know, as Jesus was leaving the home of Jairus' daughter, these two men who were blind came and said, Son of David, have mercy on us. But they actually followed Jesus into his home. You know, they were like, hey, I'm going in there. I'm going to barge in for my healing. You know, I'm not going to just say, oh, this is my lot in life. He's gone inside. It's not for me. They barged in. And it says they went right into the house where he was staying. And Jesus asked them, do you believe I can make you see? Yes, Lord, they told him, we do. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. Then their eyes were open and they could see because of their faith, because of your faith. Daughter, your faith has made you well. I don't believe that there is a formula for healing from God. I can't find a specific one, because there's times in the Bible where Jesus will say, you know, your sins are forgiven, you are healed. I don't know what the formula is. But what I do see is that faith has a lot to do with receiving a miracle and healing. It's by faith. You know, are we willing to be the ones in the Bible that say, just one touch of the Messiah's robe, that's all I need. I'm desperate for just one touch. Just one touch and I'll have healing. Are we willing to be the ones that go, I'm following Jesus into that house and saying, can you heal me? Son of David, have mercy on me. Not just sit down and accept that this is my life. John 5:1. Jesus heals a lame man. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with the covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. And one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. 38 years. This is my lot in life. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? Interesting. Would you like to get well? And he said, I can't, sir. The sick man said, for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. And when Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. And instantly, the man was healed. And he rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Instantly. Would you like to get well? I can't, sir. This is my lot in life. You know, we see in the, I think there's a scripture for Deuteronomy, Sarah, if you would mind putting that up. We see the Israelites and they camp and they stay camping and they're complaining. And the Lord, it actually says, the Lord our God said to us, you've stayed long enough at this mountain, break camp and advance into the hill country. And so I think sometimes we can camp on what we have in life. We can camp on, well, you know, I'm still waiting for that promise, or I'm still waiting for that miracle. I'm just going to camp here. I'm going to stay here. And I'm speaking to me this morning, like I am. I have been camping on the seen, not like focusing on the unseen of what God's doing. And I love the other translation with this, and I just want to find it really quickly, because there's another translation that actually says, I can't find it, but I'm sure it says, get up. You've camped here long enough. Get up and go and advance. You've stayed here at this mountain long enough. Get up and move on. Advance. Don't stay here. Don't stay at this mountain, at this campsite of this is my lot in life. I have epilepsy and I've only got a 2% chance of growing out of it. Don't camp there. Don't camp at that spot. Get up and advance. Get up and advance. I tell you, I think there's reason why Jesus asks these questions. Would you like to get well? 38 years, this man was unwell. And hey, I have a lot of compassion for people that have sicknesses and diagnoses and that are unwell. I do. It's tough. You know, my dad, when I was, gosh, I think I was about 14, he injured his back really badly. And it was a very long journey for him. And I remember there would be times where we'd go to his house every second weekend and he'd just be on his bed with his back in so much pain. But something changed in him. And, you know, he's the first to say that when you can't do anything else but be bedridden and read your Bible and pray, something shifts. You know, like it's like we end up depending solely on God because we've got nothing else to depend on. And I don't believe that God causes us to have sicknesses, but I do believe that he really uses them to bring good, to give him the glory when we see the healing take place. You know, I'm still believing for some healing in my life. I'm believing for healing in my right eye. I sometimes get double vision. I'm short-sighted. And so like when I close this eye, I really can't see anyone. It's quite blurry. And sometimes that can be difficult at youth when the lights are really low and then we turn the lights back on and I've got double vision. And sometimes when I'm driving with the glare, it's really tricky. And I'm like, hey, God, hey, like you're a God that by faith healed all these people, you know, in this word. And I know, God, that you are a God that can say by faith you are healed to me personally. You know, not just the people in here. Healing is for everyone, every sickness and every disease. And I really felt prompted to speak about healing this morning, to give God the glory with some of the testimonies that I've seen, but also to encourage you, church, that healing is for you. It's for everyone. And when I felt prompted to write my message a couple of weeks ago about healing, immediately I got a text message from someone saying, hey, I just got this news. Can you pray for me? I've got this diagnosis. Wow, okay. And then I went to get a coffee. Sorry, Pastor Rob. Pastor Rob is a very smart man with his finances. Nescafe all the way. I'm like, I just need something good. Bless Nescafe, it is great. But sometimes I'm like, I just need a really strong hit of coffee. So I went to get a takeaway coffee. And as I turned the corner, I ran into someone. And immediately I felt God say, pray for them, for their health. And I had a chat to this person and they told me some things. And I was like, oh man, this is not a coincidence, God. Like, you're on this. You want your people to be healed. You don't want them to stay camped where they are. This is not our lot in life. You know, we are believers. We can receive healing. And then I went back to the office with my coffee and was writing my sermon. And, you know, I stopped doing it and left for the day. And then a couple of days later, I picked it up again, got another text message straight away, saying, hey, can you pray for me? I've got this. I need healing for this. I'm like, wow, okay, God, like hit me over the head with it. This is great. Like you want healing for your people. And so this morning, if the worship team could come and join me. Like I said, I'm believing for healing in my right eye. Jehovah Jireh is the Lord will provide. He will provide miracles. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. And I wonder if there's anyone in this place this morning that desperately wants to touch the robe of the Messiah, that desperately needs a healing from God. It's not me that's going to pray for you and you're going to get healed. It's not someone next to you, the person next to you. That's not it. It's God. We are just vessels. We are just vessels. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And this week, I felt a few things come to my mind. I felt headaches and tension of neck and back, that God wants to heal that. I felt wrists, someone with a wrist problem, fatigue, brain fog, I felt that. I also felt anxiety. Anxiety kept coming back. And I know I've spoken about anxiety before, that God's healed me of that. But again, I felt anxiety's come up again for healing. Stomach, something in stomach. I don't know what that is. I know my sister Hannah felt endometriosis come to her the other week from God. It could be that, something to do with stomach. And so this morning, we're not going to open the altar. And you're probably like, that's a bit weird. Why? We're not going to open the altar. We're actually going to do something a little different. I do just want to say that if there are any people, any of our family in this place that are desperate to touch the robe of the Messiah, that are desperate for healing. And I also believe that this is the healing of a heart too. I actually felt grief and loss come to my mind as well, because it's not just a physical injury. There can also be healing that needs to take place in hearts. When people have gone through difficult things, hearts can hurt and hearts need healing. And I just want to say that I love praying for people that need healing. If you have crutches in this place, don't be hurt by what I shared. It's just me trying to step out and be bold. And sometimes I'm like, oh, why me? love you guys. And so if you are in this place and you are like, I am desperate for healing, just one touch from the Messiah's robe, I would like you to stand in your seat this morning by faith. And I'm standing here on this stage by faith. So have faith to stand where you are and say, you know what? By faith, I want to be healed. By faith, daughter, you are healed. By faith, son, you are healed.